Our passage comes from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall make straight your paths. Also from Jeremiah 29, 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for your harm, to give you a future and a hope. And then also Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Good. All right. Fair warning, this thing's a little funny, so if it falls, I'll try to catch it. So as I introduced myself earlier, as most of you know me, I am Rosalie Pareja, and I am the Director of Youth Ministries here at Northwood Presbyterian Church. So I have been in this position since August of 2019. I have been working in youth ministry since I was as young as 19 years old. Yes, and I just turned 29. So, all right, yeah, so this service, the kids will, they'll call me old. The traditional service will probably call me a spring chicken. So if my math checks out, I have been working in youth ministry for 10 years. So that also means I've spent my entire 20s in this ministry. I would say that's not average for someone going through their 20s. But I always say God gave me these years. God's given me these 10 years. It's something I'm incredibly grateful for, and these past 10 years have been something I could have never imagined for myself, really, especially as a teenager. I'll admit, the truth is, I didn't really know what I wanted to do as a teenager. My mom can testify right here. It's all over the place. Especially my senior year. I had plenty of things I was interested in, and I enjoyed all types of things, but I really struggled with picking a major or the right school up until the very last minute. And it still didn't feel right. But not knowing what I wanted as a teen, you know, I had really no idea what God had in store for me. I had a faith, but I was confused and I was lost my senior year. And I'll admit, in my senior year or when I was a teenager at all, I never once said, I want to be a youth pastor. I'll admit. So, as I was growing up, there's always, you know, just like Ann said earlier, passcodes, passwords for things. You like leave yourself little moments, little imprints, scripture that runs through your head. For me, one of the first scriptures I ever heard, it was my senior year. It was towards the end of the year where I was feeling this kind of sense of uncertainty. And I was in church, and I heard Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 the first time. And the way I heard it was, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I remember sitting in church, right then and there, church I grew up at my whole life, sitting there and feeling this like full, just like weight off my shoulders, just all the overwhelming, just gone. I needed that scripture. I'm so glad I went to church that day and I heard that scripture, and it's followed me ever since. It's a scripture that I've always held close and dear to my heart, and it's been embedded into my faith foundation. So perfect, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and always acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So that's what I did. It's been directed ever since. Straight path the whole way ever since, right? Yeah, right? That's funny. But needless to say, I did still hold on to that verse, even though things, I was never a kid that saw with rose-colored glasses. I've always been pretty realistic. But that verse really guided me through a time that I really needed it. And so I ended up actually going off to culinary school my freshman year, and joke's on me now, but and it didn't really work out at first, and so I came home for the summer, and nothing felt right. Nothing still felt right. I couldn't figure it out, and I was in my mom's living room, and I was telling her, I said, Mom, I just went, and I've told the kids this story, too. I've said, you know, I want to do something that involves all the things I love to do. I just can't pick one thing. I want to cook. And I want to do something that really matters. I don't really see myself working in a restaurant or anything like that. I really want to serve. I really want to work with all ages. I want to travel. I want to be active. I don't want to work in a cubicle at all. Learned the hard way on that one. And I want to do all these things. And I was saying, just rambling on this list of all these things to my mother. And she says, well, you're going to have to pick something, or at least start somewhere for now and until you figure it out. But just do what you need to get done. And so that's what I did. I went to school and I went to work. I went and I got my degree, changed my major about 3 or 4 times, and I finally graduated. Yeah, 6 or 7 maybe, huh? Finally graduated with a degree in psychology, which actually is perfect for my line of work. And but I held on to those verses through that. And so when I went to school, I went to work, that opened up the doors to the church job. I started helping out in my old church. I just started serving. I did what I needed to do. I went to school, I went to work, and I served. And God opened doors for me. But I followed through them. There was times where, you know, I could have easily ignored God's call, and I felt that tiny little glimpse of what my life could be like, and I followed it. As scary as it was, I followed it. So fast forward, all those things I listed off to my mother. I said, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to have a flexible schedule, travel, work with all ages. Last time I checked, that's the job description of a youth pastor. So I ended up into this position over 10 years and find myself building this position for myself over these years. My first 6 years in youth ministry, I started with children's ministry, which led to then youth ministry, starting a youth group from the ground up. I was very lucky my first years of youth ministry. I had it pretty good. And so I really still, though, back then, I didn't know what I had coming for me. So I've been in ministry for 6 years. Things have been going good. And I had taken a break from working as a youth pastor to go work at Cedar Kirk and have this kind of time to just hear God speak to me. I needed a transition in my life. That's for another day. We can go out to lunch or something if you want to hear more. But in 2019, I found myself here. I came here. 4 years ago, you know, my life was completely different. This church felt different 4 years ago. You know, this group of seniors, you guys were freshmen in high school. Babies. You're still my babies, but but you were this, like, wild, energetic, and immature teenagers. I mean, and I was your new youth director. You were actually hard to get close to at first, I'll admit. I mean, my first game night, I got hit in the head with a soccer ball. Isaac. I remember one of the first football games I ever went to. As soon as I got there, I was trying to find someone I'd recognize, and I saw Eli, and he hid from me. Well, joke's on him. He recently introduced me to someone as his best friend. Aww. Joke's on you. Oh, how so much has changed these last 4 years. But so, honestly, at the beginning, I never thought about today. At the beginning of 2019, I didn't think about me standing here today with this group of kids. I really was just overwhelmed with getting started, figuring out this job, a new church, a new group, new congregation to get to know, all these things that were in place that I had to learn. So I worked for the first 6 months feeling out the job, and I did things as I was suggested, told. And I learned the ropes, and I got to know the families, and bam, 6 months in, everything changed. COVID happened. 6 months in. Yep. So, almost 4 years ago, I was here, Stephanie, Paul, and Chris, and just a couple of us, and we're putting on our virtual graduation Sunday service for the 2020 class that's over here. And, yeah. You guys weren't here, obviously, because it was COVID. So here I am, and all of a sudden, you know, it took a while to really get comfortable with going virtual and getting really creative and getting out of the box. And that time was a really special time for our group. But at first, it was scary and it was hard. I remember sitting here. We didn't have the fancy Facebook live stream. We had my phone and we had a tripod. So I would come in here and I'd set the tripod up, and then I'd sit down and do the service, and it was just weird. So doing a graduation Sunday service with none of the graduates, it just felt weird. And I remember during that service, scared, confused, everything was uncertain. And, you know, I'd only known this group of graduates for 7 months, but I felt for them. So they had no graduation, no other senior events, no prom. you know, knowing they'll have to stay home their freshman year of college, none of it felt right. So here is that Jeremiah 29:11 verse, plastered everywhere. It was on my slideshow, it was in the back of the bulletin, it's in the cards in the grocery store, on coffee mugs, on Amazon. It's the first thing you get when you Google graduation Bible verse. So it's a good verse, it's comforting and it's beautiful. You know, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, but to give you a future with hope. But I'll admit, in that moment, it was not comforting. Didn't feel right. Nothing felt right. Especially when what was plastered everywhere at the time was in these times of uncertainty. Like my whole inbox was full of that during COVID, in which things were uncertain. But I thought about it harder and went back to the context and I thought about the scripture and where it came from. And you know, the scripture is often misused as just a quick, like, little pep talk. For I have plans for you, not to harm you, give you a better future. But really, it was written to a group of people. It wasn't written to an individual. It was written to captive Israelites in enemy territory. So quite different from what we've got going on today, quite different from 2020 and now. But this verse, it gave hope to a group of people that surely did not understand what God was doing at the time. Very seriously. So I learned that, you know, even though the scripture, it was not written to me, it was not written to you, it was not written to us, but it was written for us. And through that, underneath the promising, for I have plans for you, plans for a future with hope, I've realized what it was really promising was that you will have struggles, things will be uncertain. There will be seasons of your life where you feel like you can't handle the load that you're bearing, times you feel undeserving of love, and times you feel like you have no way out. However, God's grace will exceed through that. His promise is that he will be with you every step of the way and that he will help you and through it and that he does have a plan for you. So at that time, I had no idea what the next 4 years would look like to me, how God would use me and how God would open my heart from then on. So here we are now, this group of seniors. This group of seniors is very special to me. So I have been with them since they're freshmen, as I said, and I've never actually experienced this as a youth pastor before. At the time I came in and out of my previous youth group, I had never had from freshman year to senior year in that one group. So this is special to me. I always say to myself, you know, I knew a glimpse of God before I met these kids. It's true. They bring so much joy and light to my life, and as well as a test of patience. But I didn't know what it would mean for me to be in this position where I got to be with these kids from their freshman year to their senior year. So in this window of time, I've had the opportunity to witness them go from these kids to now young adults. In this window of time, I've been able to witness them go from having a hobby or like something they're interested in to becoming passionate about something, and then becoming skilled in something and letting it guide them in their next steps. That's a really beautiful thing to witness, and I know this congregation can relate because you've been here too. But, you know, it's funny, when I first realized this, it actually wasn't even until this past year. We were at Rock the Universe, our trip where we go to Orlando, and it's 12 o'clock in the morning, and we're stuck in a line that we're halfway through, the ride shut down, and we're like, ugh. We've already waited this long, we might as well just feel it out. And so it opened up the floor for that kind of late night conversation with the kids. We just started talking about life and things, and I realized at 12 a.m. there that I had been along the ride this whole time, literally. And it just hit me. I was talking to, I think it was Caleb, and all of a sudden I was like, wow, you guys have grown so much in these 4 years. Looking at the pictures from the first time we went to now, I mean, it's just wild. It's so beautiful that I've been able to be a part of this and that you guys have as well. So we've accomplished a lot, though. And I'm not even just talking about, like, your individual accomplishments. You got to read it pretty quickly. There'll be more in there. All of those are amazing, and I'm so proud of you for everything that you've been able to do and that you plan on doing. But I'm talking about is our group, our youth group. So from summers and holidays to Cedar Creek retreats to mission work, Montreat, special events, and our normal programming, I mean, we've spent a lot of time together these past 4 years, even from the virtual times. Some I see 2 to 3 times a week, and some of you I saw more in your younger years. Some I saw just recently. I've just met you this past year, and you just joined on in. but all of you have come into this group. And you know, these are countless memories that I will cherish forever. So it's been a blessing to have seen you guys grow as you come in and out of these doors over the years. One of my favorite things in the past 4 years has been this, like, evolution of how they walk through the door. So I'll explain that. So from once these, like, shy and nervous get also, like, chaotic and energetic younger teens to what we have now. So we've got, in the youth room, we've got two doors, one on each side, and couches in between. And, you know, it's just something I've always taken note of. Like, Eli walks in from the back because he drives now. They all drive. And he walks in, and he grabs the guitar on his right, and he usually sits down on the couch on the right. Nice little head nod, says hi, and we talk for a little bit while he lightly plays the guitar a little bit. Then you've got Drew. Drew slams the door open, comes in, grabs a bag of chips, and plops on the couch, feet up, not touching the couch, of course, hanging off, you know, because we wouldn't do that, and takes this, like, big sigh. I would say he feels very comfortable in the youth room. Oh, man, Isaac walks in, he does this, like, head nod, like, what's up? That's his thing. And then, you know, you have Caleb, my sweet Caleb. Caleb walks in, and he goes straight for the hug every single time. Sometimes I'm like, can't even get out of my car in time before he's like, giving me a hug. My sweet Caleb. And you've got Grant. Grant walks in. He usually goes, hey, Miss Rosie, and then tells me everything that's going on in his life and asks me. And we always start with a good conversation. Or I remember Sarah and Joyce, you guys used to come in. And you'd come in just so fast. I couldn't even, like, it just happened so fast. You'd walk through the doors, and then you'd just do this funny thing where you would, like, slap your hands on your legs and just kind of let out this big, like, huh, and then just tell me everything. I could hardly keep up. I remember this, all these moments. I remember these moments. I love them. I take them, you know, I cherish them. Or even, you know, there's been times where it's pure chaos. Like, I remember Eli and Drew rushing in through the door, soaking wet, covered in, like, mud. I'm just so confused what's going on. I guess they got rained on at golf or whatever, but it was just this chaotic, like, all right, we just got to come in here, just not even take the shoes off or nothing. Like, just run right in. So there's also been times, though, when they've come in so excited to tell me something. Like, you got the job, you passed the test, you made the team, or you got the girl. There's also been times where they've walked in face down, no eye contact, and all I get is like a hey, until eventually they tell me or I drag it out of them what's really going on. And same here. Sometimes you guys are waiting on me a lot lately, I feel like, in this last year. And I show up with all my chaos telling you all about my other job and this and that, what's going on. My dog's coming out of the car, and it's just this funny little thing we've got going on. But there's no judgment on either end. And so what we've grown here these past 4 years is a family. So we're not perfect, and we've had our moments, but for the most part, they've given me memories that I will cherish forever, and I can't wait to tell my kids about one day when I have them. And so God has been here every step of the way, though, to help nurture this environment where his grace has really, truly exceeded through this group. But I know the day is approaching where you will no longer walk through that door. I've been prepping myself for it. I tear up every time just thinking about it. Because I love you so much, I really do. I love these kids so much. But you have new doors to walk through. You have new environments to put yourselves in. You have groups to be a part of. You have relationships to make. And I hope you take these moments and that you hold on to them, but that you also give them to others, that you create spaces and places to thrive in and for others too as well. And I hope you endlessly seek God's voice and accept his grace. You'll need it. As you walk into these new doors, this new chapter in your life, my prayer for you is really just in these scriptures. It's to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but to acknowledge him in all ways as he directs your path. For that God has plans for you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a future with hope. But you need to hold fast to this confession of hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful, to consider to provoke one another to love and do good work, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another, and all the more. God's plan and grace will forever exceed what you could ever imagine, but you will learn to trust that. Amen. All right.